Gotcha. Give mind to things you've tried. I'm the one that can satisfy you.
Welcome to Notcast, episode 188, Serious Shit. I'm Saverin.
I'm confused. I'm Fuzzwolf.
No, you're not. Confused is tomorrow.
Why are you confused?
I was like, the episode title is Serious Shit?
No, I don't have a title. What do you want to title it?
Serious Black, of course. No, I don't know.
You know, when this baby hits 188 miles an hour, you're definitely going to see
some. Oh, that's right. I made that reference last week. Okay.
And I am belatedly Shiva.
Yep. And we're here. And you know, what's really kind of cool is like we didn't post a topic. We're like, man, what do you want to talk about this week? Mm-hmm. I don't know. I just post open topic. Still get a bunch of emails. It's nice. So, how's y'all's week?
I feel older.
Yeah, because you are. A little bit.
Today is Friday. My birthday was yesterday, so I am now 35. I don't know how that happened. I have suddenly somehow tripped and became an adult sometime when I wasn't looking.
It happens to everybody. I mean, just one day you're, you know, just browsing the internet and fapping to porn and... Then the next day you're buying a house and buying your own house to fap to your own porn.
That's right. And I will, yeah.
I mean, woke up, steady day job. We'll soon see you
wake up. Oh, sorry.
So,
Sarah's just looking at me like, the fuck happened to just now?
We started having like a musical number.
You completely derailed her.
Why did we roll back to the 50s? Sorry, Shiva, go ahead.
Didn't do much yesterday. Just went out to dinner with the mates. And I'm going to freaking kill one of them. So, we're at a Chinese restaurant. Sit down.
All right.
had a big meal. One of the mates runs off to the bathroom, comes back, and we're tallying out the bill, and they bring out the chocolate cake. It's like somehow he had gotten word. I didn't put two and two between going to the bathroom, waving down the waitress. Then the entire staff comes along, sings happy birthday in Chinese. I didn't know, but apparently they can. But then they repeated it in English. And the thing is one of them was the owner of the restaurant, who is the ex-mayor of Addison, Texas. So I'm just sitting there trying to be read. Then he takes a picture and puts it on Facebook. So it's like, he is a dead man.
I thought he was the current mayor.
I don't think he is anymore. I don't know.
Isn't he like the guy that's Dennis or whatever? He's like a local Republican business dude.
Yeah, that's what he's running for Senate. I know that.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, I got, oh God. And then he puts it on Facebook. And, oh
on
my
the book
God.
Face.
Yes. So
Facebook is dangerous.
I will get him back someday, somehow. I don't know how yet, but it will happen, and he'll know exactly why when it happens.
Okey-dokey. The mate, not the guy running for political office.
No, the mate. I got kitchen stuff because that's what I typically get for my birthday.
Well, I mean, it's your natural habitat.
Yeah, well.
Oh, man, you went there. I was just going to be like, insert misogynistic comment here.
Well, it doesn't help that.
Why go halfway?
I really, really, really like to cook, but they got me pans, the specialty pans that you need to make cheesecake and a pizza stone. So
yeah, pizza stones are nice.
So I got more kitchen toys. So, and they both work together to sneak this in without me seeing, like, the shipments arrive or anything else like that. So, yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
You've got some good dudes then.
Yes. So, that was pretty much it. Work, work, work. Birthday! And then tomorrow I'm having the get-together with all the friends and such. So, because, you know, Thursdays just aren't that much fun to go out and party on.
Nope.
I need to get an extra mate so I get more birthday presents.
Just, you know, you just go pick
no
one
other
up.
Reason. I'll advertise on Craigslist, you know, now looking for a fuck toy who will give me presents and blowjobs.
Not an extra, like, dick up your ass. You know, just
I'm usually just given a dick. Unfortunately, I only have one dick, so I guess an extraneous mate would be, well...
left out.
Could always finger one. Hey, I've got 10 fingers, you know, maybe I could be like fucking 11 people at once.
That's like a bowling ball.
Yeah, no. I was thinking finger puppets. Fingering puppets, there we go.
Why?
Dad asses.
In any event.
He's like, change the subject.
How was your week, Fuzz?
I'll play their prostates like a keyboard. Be awesome. I don't know where I'm going with this line of thought. Somebody help me.
I'm just thinking they have to be very, very, you know, they cannot be that thin, you know.
How do they get that close? I mean, you can only get assholes so close because the ass cheeks.
And you could maybe, if you, like, did that, and they were like,
my fingers are all 24 inches long.
Okay. You know what they say about guys with long fingers?
Big gloves.
So, my week was relatively uneventful. Mm-hmm. You don't get a turn, Fuzz. The most exciting thing I did was help my parents build their website over the last couple days.
Oh, who else helped you with that?
Well, not the email solution that you had for me didn't work, so we need to work and figure that out.
Not working. Did we set up an your email?
I think we did, but I don't remember for sure.
Okay.
And I've just kind of derped around today.
Because I know, like, the other podcast we host still uses a Gmail account. You know, I could add a...
Yeah, I need to look.
So I don't know. I couldn't remember if
they're
done that.
They're in PayPal limbo moment for the moment anyway, so it's not like not having a notification system in place is really crippling.
Right. Mm.
But, yay! My parents finally have a website.
That is good.
I spent, like, 12 hours.
Yeah, setting them up initially takes a while.
I had to add in a shit ton of items and take lots of... photos taken and da da da. But I liked it. It was pretty nice.
You don't do that. Do not abuse the listeners with rappers.
Yeah. Came back. I have an IKEA.
The cat came back the very next day.
Yep, the cat came back. Actually, you should probably give this to our roommate, dear. I believe she will be needing it more than we do. It was an IKEA catalog. Those are cool. I like IKEA quite a bit. Dead air. We're exciting as hell.
Sorry, so what are these candies called again?
They're called Napoleon Sours. So Panther's a big fan of these particular candies. They're imported from Belgium. And he saw on Amazon that there was a 7-pound bag available for sale. And he's like, oh my god, buy that for me. So I did. And, they have 7 pounds of these imported Belgian sours. They're really quite good. But it's 7 pounds of them.
Napoleon.
That's what I said. I said Napoleon.
So, yeah.
They are from... Okay, they're called Napoleon Sours, and they are products of Belgium.
Yes.
It says so on the box. Bag. Thingy.
Crackly thing.
You don't want to be on the show...
Come over here and talk about your awesome candy.
Yeah.
Your sweetest candy.
We're licking all of his balls.
don't choke. So, yeah. Other than that, I mean, it's been pretty calm. I mean, just stuff and things.
I kind of
am glad that it's kind of calm and that. I mean, personal lives. I mean, yeah, we can talk about the news. The whole... Americans wearing their bigotry proudly by eating cock in vast lines.
Yep, shoving greasy cocks down their throat.
And being proud about it.
Mm-hmm.
America.
Fuck yeah.
No.
Yeah, there was this... It's just really silly. That, hey, you know, we stand with this bigot. To do so, we're going to eat chicken.
So my week mostly consisted of working. And we got some new stock in. I added Yosagi Yojimbo, volume 26, to the website.
Mm-hmm.
And most importantly, Black Sat volume 4, now available in English. English.
Isn't it from German? Translated from German?
It's either French or Spanish originally.
Oh.
Yeah, and then the German translation comes out first, like they do all the European ones first. And then, because it's been over a year, it's been like a year and a half or 2 years, I think, since it came out. And I've been emailing the publisher the whole time, been like, hey, are you guys going to get this? Because you got the first volume of the three of them. And, you know, and then all of a sudden out of the blue, it's like, oh, we actually have it now. It's translated and, you know, lettered into English. It was like, yay! So I ordered a whole bunch of them. Tieran will have them, some of them at Rocky Mountain.
I was just kind of amused because, you know, there's the whole England is part of Europe, last I checked.
Not really.
They don't, those islands, they don't count as part of the European landmass?
No.
Huh.
Not really.
They're like, fuck you, we're an island.
Yeah. I mean, they're not even part of the EU, really.
The EU. No.
Yeah. Which is a good thing for them right now.
Well.
Yep.
Because the EU is collapsing. Or the currency is collapsing, anyway.
The euro is going all sorts of weird places.
Mm-hmm. It's very wibbly wobbly.
And
as bad as our economy is right now, theirs is worse.
Yeah. Thanks in part to like Spain and
Greece, really.
Yeah.
Mostly Greece.
So they're not doing pretty well. They're not doing that good.
Okay.
I'm sure all the European listeners will be like, fuck you, it's fantastic here.
Okay.
Well, I'm just kidding. Yeah. I know happy Europeans, so it's all good. In the hood.
Perhaps are they gay Europeans?
Yeah.
From Gay Paris? No.
No, gay Netherlands, actually. But what else? I put out a couple more ebooks. I'll be doing more ebooks for Kindle this weekend. And we're helping a friend move tomorrow morning.
Yep.
And a bunch of, like, little projects and things I need to catch up on. We also have a bunch of orders because we had a sale today, so I had to send those out. But that's about it. No big projects this weekend, just catching up on a lot of stuff. And then next weekend is Rocky Mountain FurCon, which won't be at. But Tira will be there with our friend Zia, and Fur Planet has two tables in the dealer's room, so... And one of our artists, Dave Hopkins, is the guest of honor, so mm-hmm. That'll be nice. And
next week, I'm booked in for surgery again on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
I'm crossing my fingers so they don't fuck it up again.
Mm-hmm.
Because as fun as anesthesia is, you know, it's not that fun. So I have to get up at ass crack o'clock on Monday. I have to be at the medical center at 7 a.m. Mm-hmm. to get checked in for labs. And then once that's done, and then I have to be there again about that early on Thursday. I don't know how long I'm going to be in there, but yeah, I hope they don't fuck it up again. I am so sick and tired of this.
Mm. Yeah, because not being able to use those extra limbs they're installing, that would be really problematic.
Yes. Yes, it would be. So, yeah. Oh, well. Knock on wood. Please don't let this be another round of circus. Because then I should be healed up enough in time to go to MFM without being in serious pain.
Right.
If you're in serious pain, you'll get serious painkillers. You'll be really happy and fun to go.
Oh, you gotta share some of that with me, and then we can get some drinks.
The other thing is...
Take a handful of painkillers, a couple shots of vodka, then go to bed.
Just fuck it all. I don't care if I wake up.
The other thing
Life flip.
The mate finally has he's had a couple of interviews, but he's got a kind of important one on Monday, which if he manages to get this job will be really good for us in a couple different ways.
Mm-hmm.
So crossing fingers for that. That would solve a lot of problems right there.
Yep.
So hoping that goes well, not trying to put too much, you know, hope behind it, but hopeful at least.
It'd be nice to have.
Yes, it would.
How many of our episodes now have, we'll cut that out later. We'll fix it in post.
And then we don't.
Yeah, yeah. But most of the time we don't mean it. Because it's just like us being derf and...
I always mean it, Saverin, because I want to come off as completely serious and intelligent. And intellectual. And super
professional, right?
That's right. Burp. Yeah.
Professional as shit.
Professional as a motherfucker.
Yeah. If we didn't do this for fun, we would have stopped so long ago.
We'd have gotten fired so long ago.
Last I checked, we weren't getting paid for this.
Well, no, you said if we weren't doing it for fun, which would mean we'd be doing it for professionally, which means we'd probably have a boss.
And we'd probably get fired.
Yeah. They'd come up there like Howard Stern and be like, you fuckers are like getting ditched to satellite. Or something.
That would be terrible.
Be like, it's like being exiled to the wilds of...
What, being exiled to satellite?
Exiled to satellite, yeah. And then they shoot down the satellite.
It's one of those things, like, if you're on satellite, I mean, you're not easily accessible via the net, and you're not free to listen to on the radio. You require this specific thing, and get to pay for them, usually. So it's...
Speaking of satellites, they're doing that kind of cool thing this weekend. They're trying to drop that new rover on the Mars.
Yeah.
Curiosity.
Yeah. I was hoping it survives.
Yeah, the interview with the engineer was kind of interesting because they're like, we won't know if it works until we actually try it. Because they've done all these tests and they've tried to take as much about the planet that they know into account, but there's no way to really fully test this on Earth. So they won't really know if this is going to work until she touches down or doesn't.
There's that kind of prayer factor involved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm 35. I'm not old. I'm not young. I'm still kind of wondering if I'll see somebody make it to Mars in my lifetime. It just seems like we're really slow on doing that.
Well, till we find out Mars has oil, we're not going there. Oh, shit, them Martians have oil? They threaten my daddy.
It's like that fake Exxon. Was it Exxon site? That was like an environmentalist group did, and it was something like, we drill into a crippled orphan's spine if we thought there was oil in there.
Yeah.
So, I wanted to share something that I said I would read, and I sound like a lisping because I have half this candy in my mouth and trying to roll my tongue around it like a
candy.
Like a cock, you know.
You'd think you'd have plenty of, like, work at that.
Well, yeah. But most cocks aren't as sharp as some of the edges of this hard candy. And if they are...
Your mouth is full of blood.
Take the piercing out.
You wrong cock.
So, I was talking to a friend of mine over text the other day. And we started getting into this discussion and basically trying to do the worst possible TS that we could.
Oh, God, that thing the other day. Yes.
No, this is something that
you mentioned it the other day.
Oh, okay. Oh, God. So I'm trying to find it because it's in my... Well, then I grip the little fox behind the ears and reverse the polarity of the neutron flow right into his slutty muzzle. Oh, that was a later one. There was some earlier that were really... really bad.
So you were doing terrible TSing.
On purpose.
Well, yeah.
Pain Fox gives you a sounding so thorough you'll never have a problem passing a kidney stone for the rest of your life. When the wolf gets off inside you, it feels just like that time when you were 15 and let the hot tub jet shoot up your ass.
What?
That sounds kind of terrible.
The corgi comes like an oil pipeline bursting, filling your guts with sweet like crude.
That's terrible.
And we started off doing it like just really like uninteresting. So I had texted, the wolf humped real hard, like just like someone who wanted to get off. It's like there's my super boring
He humped because he was bored, and bored because he was humping.
Oh, but so baby, I'm gonna fill your fart tank with my breeding juice. I said that, to which he responded, "I'll never be able to get an erection again."
I thought that was that the idea behind this.
Just to make it as, because I picked up the term fart tank to refer to a butt not long ago. I can't remember where I heard it.
Smallcast.
But it was, I don't know what show it was on. The other interestingly fucked up thing I found on the internet is that there is a 50 Shades generator.
Oh, yeah, that. Jesus.
Has some really fucking horrible expressions.
Horrifying things.
Yeah. Totally.
The 50 Shades generator is a breakthrough in erotic fiction. At the click of a button, it generates world-class literature based on a predefined vocabulary. The feeling of his love mayonnaise frothing down my throat got my flange custard flowing quicker than a greased weasel shit. After having my birth cannon plowed, he then proceeded to thrust my rusty bullet hole. My mouth was so full of vein cane and penis pudding, the penis pudding was weeping down my chin and onto my cans. The hammering made me eject my flange custard all over his ramrod. Hours of hammering like this would leave any girl's meaty hangers looking like badly battered roadkill, and I was no different.
What the fuck?
Okay, I'll read one now and then we'll stop. There was baby gravy draining from his spam javelin, and I was wetter than a spastic's chin.
What?
We were ready for more when he removed his master of ceremonies from my old dirt road. He was pleasantly surprised to see a corn-eyed butt snake staring back at him. He knew I couldn't wait to devour the toilet twinkle off his greasy kebab skewer.
Oh.
Hours of thrusting like this would leave any girl's fur burger looking like a bucket of smashed crabs, and I was no different. Inserting a squash into my one-slice toaster got me spraying shrimp sap faster than snot off a whip. I can't wait to gobble the ectoplasm from his slut slayer.
What the hell?
So I just want you guys to know there's already two other books of this.
Yeah, I saw
it. You know, I saw you tweet that, and I'm like, how fucking far behind the times are you? They've been out for ages. They came
really?
Out. Yes, they came out practically simultaneously.
They said, apparently she...
See, I never heard of it until, like, the whole, it became a thing, and then I was like, okay, there's a book. Okay, well, whatever. I wasn't aware, holy shit, there's two other ones. And the character name, Anastasia Steele...
Oh, God.
Really?
Really?
So, we have friends that work in sex shops, which is not terribly surprising considering the kind of people we are.
And what do you mean by that?
What do you mean by people? You people?
So, I ended
We're furries, not people.
So, I've been in and out of sex shops more times in this last year than the rest of my life, dropping off cookies, saying hi, just this, that, and the other thing. And I have to go and... like last week, and I look at the counter, it's like, there's more than one? And he's like, yep. There's three. I'm like, really? It's like, yes.
You've been in and out of sex shops more often than my greasy spam kebab.
Considering I haven't been in and out of your spam kebab at all.
That'd be painful.
Yes, it would. That was the point.
Oh, fucking candies are sour.
And addictive.
Mm.
Eat some sour candy on air. Professional.
Fuck you.
So.
Sounds like a fox. You got balls in your mouth.
That takes me back like 2 years. We'll get to do that again at
OKCon.
Something
else entirely than what we mean usually by scat, man.
No breaking the rules. Jesus, we just got another email.
The rules don't apply to me. Or something. I don't know.
Rules. We have to obey the rules.
We haven't referenced the rules in, like, I don't know, 50 episodes. I don't think we're following all of them either.
Saverin, we didn't even.
It was actually kind of funny because we had somebody in our IRC, which still exists, by the way. It's not big, but occasionally sees people come back are like, wow, this is still around? I haven't listened to you guys in ages.
Yep.
Yeah.
Still here.
We're still here. And they're like, man, I... Nostalgia. Well, and they're like, yeah, they've kind of mellowed out. Mm-hmm. They don't cut stuff out. And they don't get mad, usually. I was like, yeah.
We're not as spastic.
Well, I guess when you've been doing it this long, it's like, I'm not going to get too passionate, too impassioned about random people's stuff.
Well, we're not like boring cast or something.
Well, I hope not, but it's just one of those. We don't have any aspects of rage. So, hey, we're going to read an email.
Okay.
Hello, KC crew. I'm trying to drum up support for a card game I'm not affiliated with, and in doing so, providing maybe a talking point. No fuzz, you're not allowed to sleep during this, especially if you're reading.
It's okay, I have balls in my mouth.
Tales and Tactics. No, not Tales with Tactics, but Tales and Tactics. Links at the bottom of the email. It's a World War II themed card game using humor, style, and now with extra wit. Play as Japan, Germany, Russia, and or America as you seek to beat the snot of your opponent's inept and inferior soldiers with your own inept but slightly superior soldiers. The artwork is silly to be brief and fits well with the rest of the game. Haven't found many cards which didn't at least extract a snicker or two. Really, it didn't do it justice, so you pre-read this and intend to read it again on the air. The links are there. The Kickstarter is ending 14 days from this email, and you could get it, put it out of something fellow listeners might be interested in. That'd be great for the project. Your thoughts. So, Tales and Tactics, it is a furry card game that is a card game. It's furry.
And it's probably not going to make its goal, though, unless it gets a major boost. Because their goal is $20,000, which is a lot for a furry project.
Yeah.
And they're currently at $5,326 with 9 days left.
Yeah. Well, see, they probably put a lot of money into the whole they have the Anthrocon 2012 attendee. It was one of the things in the bag at mm-hmm. Anthrocon this year was one of their cards where it's like this troop soldier, urban field, mercenary, all sides, and it's a card. It's like Anthrocon attendee randomly finds himself in a furry war zone. But anyways, they're trying to get 1,000 decks of the cards printed out.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple people pledged $1,000. That gets your character in alt art and...
Mm-hmm. Wow, yeah. Two backers pledged $1,000 or more. Shit.
But unfortunately...
I mean, what would you get for $1,000? That's a lot of money.
You get your card on art, and you get 5 signed copies of the card. Your artwork shows up as a variant in future printings. And a picture of your card will be featured at the top of their awesome people section.
Hmm.
So, I'll toss a link into the show notes. Unfortunately, it's one of those things that it doesn't look like a game that I would... I played Magic. I've played, like, the WoW CCG, but CCGs are not really my thing.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of those I'd have to have some hands-on time before I can really talk about it. But, hey, it's a furry card game. You know, Ferroticon's done well for itself, but it talks about dicks and stuff, so...
Mm-hmm.
It's good to have one of each, an adult and a non-adult one.
Yeah.
You know? What about you, Shiva? Do you ever play... CCG games?
I've played some of the WoW. I've... Not really. I kind of did WoW a little bit. Didn't really get all that into it. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I've gone through some of the Ferroticon decks, but I haven't actually played. It's one of those things I keep meaning to do.
And no Tyrion's played Ferroticon.
Yeah, he's beta tested several things, and he's dropped plenty of money on it. I mean, it's certainly a very niche thing, but they seem to be doing all right for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And the artists they have on board for it aren't bad either.
Yes.
They have a bunch of different artists on that. Then there's the Nordgard card game, too, is the other one I'm familiar with, which is all art by Blotch. It's very nice. It's kind of cool, actually. For Planet actually has a special thanks mention in the rules book because Tieran and Buck helped doing several hours of playtesting at FC one year. And they helped refine the rules and stuff like that quite a bit. So.
Yeah, make it so that things were not useless.
Well, I mean, and they didn't have to give them a shout out like that, but like, I thought it was really nice that they did. So,
yep.
And I was lucky enough that we were at the Soulful party at AC, and we picked up a couple of the like the exclusive cards that aren't in the deck. They're just like the bonus chase cards that. Like, they had some available, like, Comic-Con and stuff like that. You know, only specific areas they would have them available, so.
Trying not to yawn my head off. I don't know why I'm so tired.
Well, it is, like, 10 o'clock.
Well, no, not even that. I mean...
So, yeah. It's a free card game. If you want to check it out, there's a link in the show notes. And the show notes are available on notcast.com. Where they've always been.
All the Fox stuffers.
So all the links that we talk about putting in the show notes, they show up over there. So that's about that for that email.
Yay. Next. Yep.
Pick an email. Somebody.
Your turn, Shiro.
Oh, we're going Wittershins, are we?
Well, I still have a ball in my mouth.
You think that this is going to change?
Maybe. I can quit anytime I want.
All right. This is what I get for sticking my dick in crazy. Hey, Notcasters. Last episode, I mailed in about the long-distance relationship I was in, and it turns out your advice was not needed as I decided to break it off the day after I sent the email. There were other problems mounting up as well, and I had just had enough. It appears that this was a better decision than anticipated. She reacted horribly, but bizarrely simply wouldn't take no for an answer. I was trying to let her down gently, and she wouldn't have it. I persisted, and she eventually told me that she would give it some space, at least a couple weeks, before contacting me again to be friends. I was okay with this. However, unhappy face. Within 2 hours, she was texting me again, pleading to get me back. I tried to tell her yet again that it was over between us, and she said that she couldn't see me as a friend anymore. I replied that I was sorry to hear that, as I really did want to be friends with her, but that doesn't mean I will be getting back with her. Then she eventually and tearily told me that I would never hear from her again. This lasted 2 days. She started pleading again, and I began to get a little annoyed. This whole process repeated again and again over the past week, so much so that it was actually getting a little creepy. This last time I was more firm and told her there is no longer anything between us, and I wanted her to stop pestering to get back with me. I told her that if she did it again, I would have to completely break contact with her. She accepted this and told me that she had decided I was better as a friend than nothing. Yet again, it took her only a day before she again began begging to get back with me. I didn't reply and instead just followed through with what I said, blocking her from social media sites we used to talk with and barred her number from my phone. So, of course, she stole her mother's phone late one night and began the same tirade from there. I just barred this number, too. I am currently hoping she will either give up or her ways of contacting with me will dry up, as this is becoming quite unnerving. I am glad I decided to break it off, as she has shown a side of her that was previously mercifully unknown. I just look at this situation and think, man, this is why I usually prefer a cock. Thank you for your advice anyway, and once again, love you guys. John Blackpaw, the mercifully single Fusky.
Well. Oh, wow. That's why I
always, yeah,
and that's why I always say, bitches are crazy. Date dudes. I'm kidding.
Throw.
But, yeah, wow, that's creepy. Kind of crazy. Yeah.
It is a good thing that you got out of that when you did.
I mean, it's like, good thing it's long distance, too. You know, she might be lurking in your bushes with a knife.
That's what I was wondering. It's like, that's the kind of girl that camps out on your lawn.
And, you know, throws rocks at your window and holds up a boombox playing Andrew WK's Get Ready to Die.
Oh, my God.
Better get ready to die.
I haven't heard that, but just the title alone.
I'll play it over the break. But yeah, that's some crazy, dude. You are quite lucky that you got away from that when you did. Because God forbid you've followed it through and then later decide to break up to her when she's local. Oh, shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
that'd be some fucking madness.
Yo.
Mm-hmm.
So you dodge that bullet. Thumbs up.
Way to go.
Yeah. So have you cleared out the balls?
Yeah, I mostly have. A little bit of cock, little bit of pube, then I need to clear it out of there. Okay.
So.
Whoa, that's
I,
so.
I actually managed to get through that one without stumbling too badly. I had one minor blip, and then I.
Oh, I didn't even notice.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
You got to read the title properly.
Oh, I'm skipping around.
Oh, I thought the next one was perfect for you.
Why was the next one perfect for me? I don't even remember what next one was.
I don't know. I thought that scream for Dalek voice.
Yeah.
Second from the bottom, or maybe it's the bottom.
It's at the bottom now.
Yeah. Because you dropped it like the bass. Okay.
Like the bass.
No. It's not pronounced that way. Between a cock and a vag. To the naughty knotcasters. This is likely to be off topic, but I really need some outside input regarding this situation. I wish to remain anonymous, for I have no idea if those involved are faithful listeners or not. I also warn you that I'll edit this after I finish writing it, being a writer and a fan of myself, but I can make no guarantees as to how long or short this might be. You've made me cry. To begin, I'll explain a little about myself. To say that I'm weird would be a bit of an understatement, but I used this weirdness to try and make people laugh and smile. So did Jeffrey Dahmer. If I could do that...
Because he was a clown.
No, let's not go down that road. Like many in the fandom, I'm socially awkward. And when I say awkward, I mean really awkward. I find it hard to talk to people casually unless I know them personally or unless it involves my duties while at work. In all other instances, I find it easier for me to listen to people and throw in my two cents every so often to just keep the conversation going. I am genuinely a nice guy, and I know that we are a dying breed. It's probably because of, if you'll allow me to adjust the adage, nice guys fuck last. I've recently been coming to grips with my own sexuality as well, i.e. the fact that I'm bi. I've had bouts of denying or trying to decide on it quite a few times during my 26 years, but it wasn't until November of 2011 that it really hit me hard. I've never been in any romantic relationship, and the woman who had the best chance of finally getting to have a relationship with cut contact with me after I told her the month before that I loved her. It very conveniently timed itself with the fact that I had just finished moving to another part of non-specific state in the continental U.S. I had known her for about 9 months, and we had chatted constantly with each other. We both knew we had a connection, and I even flew to the other side of the country to spend a week with her. Suffice to say, I was very heartbroken about it. I blamed myself for everything because I'm very prone to do that before anything else. Fast forward to late June of this year. I had recently gotten back from my very first convention, Anthrocon. I had such a wonderful time there that I decided that it was time that I really try to make some local friends with those in the furry community. I put out a shout on the state furry page and got a reply about a week later. This guy, who shall be referred to as Nonspecific Fur, or NSF for short. NSF means insufficient funds, by the way, when you're talking about a bank. So I just think that this guy is poor. Wanted to get in touch with me. I was excited and nervous and approached it cautiously as I had learned to from you helpful folks at Knotcast. We spoke through Skype, and our conversation just seemed to keep going. We had a connection and seemed to have quite a few things in common. Somehow, our conversation started to get along the lines of relationships. He mentioned that he was bi and asked if I was okay with that, which I was, especially since I was questioning it myself. He had asked about my own, and I kind of told him the story about the woman I previously mentioned. I had only known him about 2 days, but something he told me that I could something told me that I could trust him and what was going on in my about what was going on in my head. God, now I'm fucking up. Hang on a second.
I did okay, well, and I passed all the stumble over to you.
My iPad screen was, the brightness was at max, and it's actually starting to make my eyes hurt a little bit.
This email is also 3 pages long.
True. Okay. This is a wall.
This is a wall.
A legit wall.
Okay. I had only known him for about 2 days, but something told me that I could trust him about what was going on in my head. What I said could be classified as TLDR, much like this email, but the short of it was that... Ooh. I'm just joking. He knows I'm... It's all good. Noogies. But the short of it was that anyone who I had ever even attempted to get close with in my life, romantically or even in the sense of becoming a best friend, had been a failure. Whether through rejection, already taken, want to stay as friends, or through loss of life. That's one particularly sad one, which I can share some other time. NSF was supportive and listened patiently and kindly. He had advised me that I had to test my sexuality, take out a guy on a date, and see how things go. Knowing myself, I instantly said that there was no way I could do that. The only time I had ever asked someone out on a date, I did so without even realizing it, and it was involving the woman I had mentioned previously. I'm normally blind when it comes to noticing other people's interests in me, but I oddly felt that he was suggesting for me to use him as my experiment. So I snapped on the latex gloves and got the big
beaker.
The beaker and the
Bunsen burner.
This fails because I've forgotten the name of them. Those big clamp things like a car, like to jack up a battery on a car.
The alligator clips?
Yes, the alligator clips.
Now you're just getting kinky.
Yeah, I know. When they hook the car battery up to your testicles?
See, I've heard of medical play going to mad scientist's plays. No,
I'm totally imagining like this guy is like on a platform and he's like cranking him up to the roof of his castle and the lightning is around, you know? And like, we need the lightning to channel directly into your cock, and then you'll travel back in time. Marty! Okay, now back to the email. yes. Chuck-a-key wheel.
We're into a completely different fandom now.
So,
yes, I know.
From Back to the Future, straight into Star Wars. We are such nerds.
The next day we spoke again, and he clarified and suggested exactly what I thought. I was shocked, embarrassed, shy, and even happy that my intuition about him was right. I couldn't deny that I was interested in meeting him, but because we had this discussion, it made me think that I would just be plain using him, and no one deserves that kind of treatment. He calmed my worries about it, and we set up an actual date for the middle of July. Both of us were nervous and excited. I was so much that when I found out that my plans for the 4th fell through, I suggested that we meet then. NSF jumped at a chance, and this was decided the day before the 4th. Sorry, what? Not sufficient funds, yes. Jumped at a chance, because then he could charge me all kinds of fees and raise my interest rate to unacceptable levels. And by that, I mean aroused. Things were moving so fast, but I couldn't wait to meet him. His APR was huge. Okay.
You can't deny his girth.
My anus couldn't deflect girth of that magnitude.
So
I'm getting through this. I have to break it up with asides.
Stay on target.
I will.
We're back to Star Wars.
I will try. But if I turn off the targeting scanner, it will be turning my mic away from me.
Yes.
That doesn't really work for a podcast, so...
No.
Okay. Things were moving so fast, but I couldn't wait to meet him. We even sent pictures of each other. I liked what I saw, and he honestly liked what he saw in the photo I sent him. This seemed too good to be true for me. When it comes to my appearance, my mindset is similar to what Shiva's was when you guys had the episode on Friends with Benefits. The 4th came, and we met. We had a wonderful time together, and it ended later that night with us making out in the parking lot we met in while fireworks were going off. We were a minute or so away from getting into the deed when the idiot in my head said that we should stop because we were so close. NSF was understanding, and we agreed to meet again on the original date we had intended, continuing to Skype each other in between. The second date came, we had a nice time, but I was nervous as all hell because we had talked quite a bit about actually doing it this time. I was interested and curious, but I couldn't help but wonder what it would do to me to lose my virginity and how I would react during sex. Yes, I know it sounds silly, but I'm the kind of guy who's a heavy thinker, if you haven't figured that out by now. Sorry, what?
Not a bad thing.
Yeah. A dangerous pastime, I know. During dinner, we got to talking about relationships again and the fact that his most recent ex, whom he hadn't spoken to for a while but was starting to get on good terms with again, wanted to get back together with him. The two of them had known each other for months and really synced with each other. NSF went to be with him for a week after AC this year, but had a falling out at the end of the week because of some face-to-face realities that they didn't anticipate. NSF came to a realization that what his ex had said about him was true and that he screwed things up. I, being an idiot again and trying to be a good friend as well, decided to support him in saying that mistakes happen and that people usually don't get a chance to realize what they did was wrong until much later in life when any chance to make things up is long gone. I had also mentioned that the pull towards the familiar is strong, especially when it involves a first. I say first to mean that they were indeed each other's first sexual experiences, not sure if it was male or otherwise. He didn't want to seem like an ass with bringing up that fact while on a date with me, but I told him that it really was all right, though I was a bit shocked. I even mentioned that I'm the kind of guy that will step aside in that situation. I did mumble, even if it was something that I really wanted. I don't know if he heard me or not. At the end of the date, we came back to the same parking lot from before. We were starting to get into it, but we had to stop because we had been interrupted by some other folks meeting up in that lot, more to just exchange cars than to have sex. Curse them for using a parking lot for something other than sex. Fast forward again to about a week later when NSF was kicked out of his house, TLDR. He had nowhere to turn to, and I immediately jumped into action. I'm a little better off than most people, and I willingly extended my hand to help him and have him move in with me. I felt it was the right thing to do. He was extremely grateful and mentioned at that moment that he was getting back together with his ex. I played the role of the good supportive friend once again. Now here we are at the present. I'm living in a two-bedroom apartment with the guy who I still have feelings for, but playing the role of roommate and friend. The friend role is something that I've played for all of my life. I want NSF to be happy, and he does seem to be right now with his former ex. However, he says that he can't be sure about everything until they actually see each other in person again. NSF and I have hung out many times outside of the apartment, and there's even a little bit of teasing with what could be considered jokes. I want to believe that he's still interested in me, but I know that he's the kind of guy who commits fully to the person that he's with. On our second date, though, there was some mentioning about being a friend with benefits. I may even settle for that a bit, but I feel angry and jealous that my chance to be with him was taken away from me, like all of my other past attempts at relationships. I'm tired of just being the friend, but I'm afraid that this is the role that I have to play. In the darkest part of my mind, I feel that I may be doomed to play that role for the rest of my life, even though I yearn, almost painfully sometimes, to be close to someone like I was with the woman I flew out to see, or like with NSF. I know that I'm a good guy, and I may even be handsome at times. I've told myself that the best thing to do would be to forget about him and move on, but that thought always makes me sad to the point of tears. There just seems to be a question or loose end between the two of us that makes me not want to give up on him yet, and I honestly care about NSF, maybe even love him. So here's the part where I ask you guys and girls for advice. Please feel free to answer or share your thoughts with the situation or any of the following questions. Not all need be answered. Am I a heel for still wanting to be with NSF? Do you think that there's still a chance between the two of us? Should I just leave him and try to move on? If so, how'd I go about doing that? Do you have any tips on how to get over the emotions and how to actually meet up with other furs, male or female? Should I go ahead and try to pursue a relationship with NSF or ask about the friendship with benefits he had mentioned during our second date? Should I just play the waiting game and see how it goes with NSF and his former ex when NSF and his former ex meet again? Thanks so much for taking the time to read through this. I hope to hear from you folks soon. Sincerely, an indecisive horse.
So,
Wall of Text crits you for over 9 million.
Who wants to go first?
No, you guys go first. I'm thinking.
Well, I don't think you should hang your hat on NSF. Maybe keep half an eye on the situation, and if NSF and his boyfriend break up, then maybe ask him out on date number 3. But you don't want to just sit there and pine and wait. You keep in mind is maybe in the future something might happen. But in the meantime, you don't have to give up on NSF, but you can kind of shelve him. And you can play the waiting game, but don't just sit there and wait for NSF. Go out, meet people, go back to the board, post some more things, try to meet other people, maybe non-furries, and broaden your horizons other than just NSF, because you don't want to be sitting there just waiting. It hurts, it sucks, and you just kind of sit there and hurt as you look at this person that you kind of got a thing for. And you don't want to do that. No, you don't want to just write it off in your heart, because you never know what's going to happen with them again later on. But still, broaden your horizons and don't make him your one and only. Friends with benefits, be really careful. Be really, really careful. When you have feelings for someone and they're unrequited, you can go down the friends with benefits path and sometimes people are okay with this and this is enough. And it helps scratch the itch until somebody else comes along. Or it can be like ground glass. You want something, you almost have it, but you don't have what you want. You're going to have to really look at yourself and judge which is going to be. Is it going to be, I want more and this isn't enough, but this is all I can have? Or is it going to be the small taste that helps you get through and takes the edge off while you go and hunt for somebody else and helps kill the loneliness a little? So, the other thing is be careful, friends with benefits, if you're living with the guy. It can put a strain if their relationship is long distance and they're living with someone that they're fucking. And also be sure that it's okay with the partner to have a friends with benefits too, because that's a talk that needs to happen. You don't want to be an accessory to cheating. So,
yeah, you don't want to be the other guy. Yeah. I'd agree with that. And as much as I advocate, an open relationship and having friends with benefits, this case, that's a very case by case situation. In this case, I'm gonna kind of go along with what Shiva says, that I would not go down the friends with benefits route, because you don't know how you're gonna react, and it might just be that you just pine after him, and then this guy's kind of sitting in the middle with his e boyfriend in another state, and you there on the side, and it's. That's just not good for anybody, I don't think. I think you should start looking to meet other furs and other people in your area, maybe just as friends, and then kind of see where it goes from there. Do y'all have any real specific advice as far as moving, from just always being a friend to something more?
Well, I think in this particular case, though, he kind of shot himself in the foot by self-friend-zoning himself.
Yeah.
That's one of those, you did it. Are you a heel for wanting to be with him? Not really. Do you think there's a little chance? Well, you don't know until they see each other. And so, for the meantime, put him on the back burner.
Did he have a time frame in there for when they're seeing each other?
No.
I thought it felt like it was kind of distant,
Yeah. Should you leave him and try to move on? Well, you're living with a guy, so you need to be friends with him at least, or get along, because I would say, go about meeting other people, like they said, like Fuzzy was said. Don't be like, oh yeah, check it out, I got this local person and I'm sticking my penis in him. Because that won't help. How do you get over the emotions? Time, redirecting your energy towards meeting new people. Otherwise, it's going to get stuck. How do you meet furs? Go to the websites. Go to the meets. Be social. Be a visible individual who has a discernible personality.
Yes.
And
Talk. That's one of the biggest things is talk.
And I'm also a little bit concerned about the... Now, I don't want to start, you know, casting aspersions on this other guy, because I don't know him and I don't know what he's like, but to the writer, you took this dude into your home after 2 days, or not 2 days, 2 dates, and he had already admitted that he was with somebody else. I mean, that's pretty big-hearted of you, but... I don't know. I mean, it seems like you have a real giving personality like that. Not that people shouldn't be helpful and friendly and stuff, but that's a real slim basis to go way out on a limb for somebody like that. People take advantage of somebody's generosity like that. If you're not going to be dating this guy...
Hope he's paying rent.
Hope he's either paying rent or looking for another place to live. 'Cause
yeah.
Yeah, you don't need to... I mean, I know you said you're doing okay financially and everything, but you can't let people just live off of you like that.
Yeah, so in this case, put him on the back burner, still be his friend, but get it into your head that odds are you're not going to be with this person, and even though it's in the air, you should treat it as it's not going to happen. So if it does happen, you can be pleasantly surprised. And if it never happens, you don't have these, you know, unaddressed feelings gnawing at you for X period of time.
Mm-hmm.
That's just my 2 cents.
Okay. Yeah, it feels like he's setting himself up for a lot of pain.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like a good situation.
Yeah.
And basically, also, there was an addendum to the email.
Oh, was there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just going to throw it out there. Hello again, 99casters. This is the Indecisive Horse again. I know it's been less than a day since my last email, but I have an update for the situation. I was able to talk to NSF about how his current relationship was going. I usually asked him about it as a friend, and he told me that his relationship with his former ex is practically like it was before. They haven't met in person again yet, but I can already see that I really don't have any chance. At least that thought came into my head. The awkward exes getting back together phase really didn't last long because they understand each other so well. I really think that I no longer have a shot. So I just have one more question to ask you folks. If you answer none of my previous questions, at least answer this. Can you give me some tips on how to quell or bury your feelings for someone when they live with you? Do you have any advice about that? Thanks again. Indecisive Force.
Get out of that situation as soon as possible.
Pretty much.
Because it's just going to be... like an open wound with a cheese grater on it while you're living together.
While someone pours sriracha on it.
I don't know what that is. It's some crazy Japanimated word that you just made up.
It's crazy-ass Southeast Asian pepper sauce.
Okay.
It's crazy hot.
What he said.
It would make the cheese grater on the open wound even worse.
Okay. But yeah, that's just not a good situation to be in at all. You know, when you're breaking up with somebody, anybody, you need a period apart and a period of time where you just don't talk to each other or interact as much as possible, which is not always easy, you know, if you're, like, working in the same place or something like that.
Yes.
But, you know, it does make it a little bit easier if you're not around each other. And then maybe in like a year or two, you're able to talk to each other. And this is just breakups in general without feeling any, you know, rage face or issues or longing. But as long as you're living together, that healing process is not going to start.
Did either of you kind of pick up on the fact that it sounded like almost from the first date that they almost tumbled into bed on the first date and then again on the second date? Isn't that kind of a little bit fast? I mean, maybe it's me, but, you know.
God, it's a little bit difficult for me to say because on a previous episode, my dating experiences have been a little bit atypical.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess, you know, people say that, oh, do you even kiss on the first date? Do you go all the way on the first date? Because I've messed about with guys that I've just met and hung out with. But that's just an open relationship. Two guys really clicked and we just did it. But that wasn't a looking for a relationship long-term thing. That was just a friend that I hit it off with, and we had some fun, you know. But a relationship is a much different thing, and you know. And then on the other times, I mean, you know, I've heard of people starting out really long term relationships that have started off as like a one night stand. So
I know nothing about that.
So you never know, really. It's whatever works. And you know, if it's his first time, which he said he was going to lose his virginity, it's like when you get that close to someone, you might feel that little bit of desperation of this is really going to happen. Mm-hmm. You know, as much as people feel, you know, anxiety or anticipation when they're about to have sex anyway for the first time. I mean, I'd imagine even more so.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I wouldn't necessarily judge him on that. The speed of things that worried me was that after two dates he's moving in with them.
Mm.
That bothers me. And I know he was in a tough situation, but surely this guy had friends that he's known longer than the dude that wrote in. That True. He could have hit up for some couch surfing space or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
So, I would, sorry, I don't have any real positive news as far as being able to get over somebody when you're living together. As in my opinion, and it's just my opinion, mind you, you can't get over somebody when they're living with you. So you need to get him out of there, get him moving on, you know, get him find a job, find a place to live, you know, and then maybe you can move on with your life and meet some new people and, you know, maybe find somebody from there.
Yep. So I'm going to read a quick email and then I guess we can get a break.
Okay.
Because we are at, over an hour.
Okay.
Stumbled and, yeah.
All right. So, elaborate. Okay. This is from...
A follow-up, isn't it?
From Akuji the Grateful Bear Dog.
Mm.
Dear Notcasters, just got finished listening to your latest podcast wherein you answered my email, and yes, I do have the patience of a saint. Now, you say you're required to elaborate and elaborate, I shall. My mate lives in Denmark. Because he's on welfare, he's constantly switched back and forth from doctor to doctor, and every time he seeks any sort of treatment, it goes as follows. This is the email last week that has a mate that was chronically depressed.
Mm-hmm.
So you're depressed, asks the doctor. Yes, I'd like some sort of medication for treatment if possible, replies the tiger patiently. Oh, we're not ready for that. Come back a week from now and we'll get you some Prozac or Fontex. And, of course, every single time he comes back and the doctor they had seen him previous week has gone and assigned a new one. When he complains, they send him down to town hall, who tells him they can't help and he needs to go to the doctor's office. And the cycle begins again. Not sure why it is, but apparently that's what's happening. He's had a really hard life, and it's starting to catch up with him. That's all I'm willing to say about the case, about the cause of his depression, because it's not really my story to tell. I feel I should elaborate on my schooling as well. I want to become a tattoo artist in the near future, but I'm getting pressured into art school by both my parents and my peers. I'm currently returning to high school. After a series of unfortunate events, I am several credits short of graduation. When I said I was willing to take a semester off, I meant it'd be between high school and art school. I do think I need to take your advice and try to find a job. Student loans and welfare have worked for me, but you're right this time. I can't foresee this elaboration being much help, but if you guys think you can make something of it, have at it. And as much as you thought you weren't helping me after the first email, the whole thing was kind of a wake-up call. I realized that I may have to work my ass off to save this relationship, but I'm willing to put in the hours. Thanks so much, Akuji the Grateful Bear Dog. P.S. Thought it was adorable hearing Shiva trip over my name. It's pronounced Akugi. Akugi. Sweetheart. Teehee. Heart. So, you know, becoming a tattoo artist does not preclude going to art school.
Yeah, I was thinking that. I was like, seems like it would actually help the career.
Well, if nothing else, you'll pick up things in art school that will help you with tattooing. If nothing else, it might not assist with the actual needlework, but it will help you with colors. It'll help you with... I say this because I went to art school.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I... Yeah, dropped all my money. Oh,
that's why you're a lunch lady.
Yeah.
No.
It's why I work tech support. But it'll still give you basic grasp. It'll give you a good, solid art foundation that to go and to take into the tattoo business.
Plus
it's a good foundation. A degree in anything helps.
Mm. Yeah.
So, yeah, don't poo-poo art school too much. It's a good foundation, and it'll give you the basics, because tattoo is still art. It's just a different medium. It's skin and ink. It's still art in all the concepts. Pretty much still apply.
And you can't erase.
Yeah, there's no Control-Z or...
I was just going to say that if you're a tattoo artist, that's a job. You can make some money at it while you're going to school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you usually... I'm not sure if he said what country he's in, but there's usually a bunch of different certifications and such you have to go to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to have your vaccinations. And
plus,
you gotta,
usually you want to apprentice underneath someone talented.
Yeah.
So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But still...
Yeah, it's...
One of those things don't preclude each other, so...
Yeah, it's definitely
not... They're not mutually exclusive.
In fact, I think they're pretty related. I mean, I know several tattooists, and a lot of them have solid art backgrounds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you see some of the designs, like, once they have their own place, you know, and they put the designs up there and everything. It's like... Especially, yeah, I think I would want a tattoo artist with a background in art school of some kind, you know?
I mean, you've got all the solid concepts that go behind good composition, especially if you're doing your original work and not just stock flash. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you just want to put somebody else's flash on somebody, yeah, you can do that. And I'm sure it can look amazing, but if you want to do your original stuff, you know.
Yeah. I want derpy on my right arm and then a baby fur shitting in a diaper on my left. Ah.
You're a strange, strange man.
No, I'm just saying, I've seen some, you know, I...
Just put the bullet in your head.
Yeah, just...
No.
That is going to look awful when you're 60.
Yes.
You know,
it'll
that's all I can say.
It'll look awful when I'm like, you know,
it might look awful when you're 36 at this rate.
Well,
you know?
35 in 3 days that it would look awful. I mean, I don't have to wait that long.
You know, just, I love My Little Pony. I think the enthusiasm some of the fans have is great. I think the people that have cutie marks tattooed on themselves are nuts.
I know a couple people with just a simple dash outline.
I mean, it's not as egregious as, like, you know, I have Twilight's big star mark right across my chest or something, but...
I don't think anybody's done that yet.
Uh-huh.
That's not a challenge, by the way.
It's just people go a little far. Like,
oh, people have Adventure Time tattoos.
Oh God!
I know people have silly shit as tattoos.
Yeah, it's not. People have furry tats. Just saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not saying that's a good idea either.
Yeah. So, anyways, we're gonna have to go to break because we're past an hour mark.
I want you to blow him and then say, "My, what a lovely tea party."
Okay. I don't know.
Okay, so our item this week on our sponsor, AdamandEve.com, since we have mentioned it somewhat disparagingly multiple times, this week's item is 50 Shades of Grey. Adam and Eve has the entire trilogy on their website. Normal price is $15.95. Our coupon code KNOT, K-N-O-T, brings it down to $7.98. 50% off. The number one New York Times bestseller. Goodreads Choice Award finalist for Best Romance. Now, if you haven't heard of 50 Shades of Grey...
It's...
I hit the wrong button. Okay, there we go. When good girl literature student Anastasia Steele meets enigmatic billionaire Christian Grey, she feels drawn to him in a way that she can't ignore. But her intense desire comes with a price. Fulfilling his need for dominance and control, come along on a passionate journey as Anna explores her most erotic desires.
Uh-huh.
So, there you go.
So, if you want something horrible to mock with all your friends...
Where does it even fall under? Like, the new category, maybe?
When I went to AdamandEve.com, it was right on the main page.
Yeah, and it's got 2 5-star reviews.
Of course it does.
Kinky fuckery. I bought the trilogy for my husband so he could understand what I want when I beg for it. Great book. It was a little slow in the beginning, but by chapter 4, it really picks up.
That's when he claims that ass.
Yeah.
That's when he touches her thing. He touches her down there and there and over
528
there
pages long.
Yeah.
Because women love themselves some sex books. It's fat fiction. Schlick fiction?
Fat fiction. I like fat fiction.
Fat fiction, yes.
It sounds better.
That's the thing. It's like people act like it's, ooh, you know, look at this. It's the fucking number one bestseller, and it's
fat
fiction. It's a straight BSDM.
BDSM.
I did it again. BDSM version of Trevor's Tricks.
Oh, you bad operating system.
I know.
You know, BSDM.
It's a good thing Panther's not here. He doorknob cane me.
Just for bad.
He'd BSDM you. So does this mean that there's hope for me in, like, getting Trevor's Tricks on the New York Times bestseller list?
Maybe if you made them not furry.
No, gay furry ass fuckery.
Yeah, I think you're still probably in a niche. So, email.
It's an email. Whose turn is it?
It's Kiva's turn.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Because he read the last one before the break.
Okay. Sigh. Just refreshing.
Yay.
We already read Between a Cock and a Vag. So.
Yeah. Between a cock and a vag.
Let's see.
Ooh.
Con report.
Con. Yeah, read the con.
Con report for Megaplex. Hey there, canines and Tetris piece. Y'all seem to enjoy about hearing about other furry cons out there, so I figured I'd try my hand at a con report. This past weekend, I attended Megaplex, a furry con in sunny Kissimmee, Florida, run by the awesome crew of the Fun Day Paw Pet Show. What an awesome weekend. The con started Thursday night with a fursuit-friendly event at a local bowling alley. I normally hate bowling, but it's surprisingly entertaining when you're watching it being played by dragons, foxes, and tigers. It was cool catching up with some friends I made at last year's convention, and nice getting to hang out with fellow furs. It was also fun to watch the reaction of normal bowling alley attendees to the suitors. No one gave us a hard time, just lots of funny looks and requests for pictures. Friday was relatively slow, with the only events I attended being opening ceremonies, a dessert social... Deserts? I don't know.
A desert social. Because he threw us in cactuses and we had to run from scorpions and eat them.
Okay. Pool party and Uncle Kage's story hour.
At least you didn't say Uncle Cage's story hour.
Kage? I know how to say Kage.
Okay.
I'd have to turn my furry card if I didn't know how to say Uncle Kage. I mean, it's like a law.
Uncle Cage.
He's like Johnny Cage's trainer uncle with fists of fury.
A furry.
And balls of rage.
The rest of the day was just spent socializing, getting a new commission done. Special thanks to Dragon, Melde, and Marisama. And enjoying time in the game room. Who knew that playing Gauntlet with a bunch of furs on a big screen TV could be so much fun?
At this point, Saverin's like, I did. I knew that.
That's fun. It's Vidge Games.
This year I attended the as a sponsor, which I get attended the con, I guess he left out a word, which allowed me to access the sponsor suite. I don't request... Shut up.
Sorry. That's a good word.
I was doing so well before.
I just don't know what went wrong.
I don't regret that choice in the slightest. It was really nice to have somewhere away from the main con floor to be able to relax, have a snack, and enjoy time with a smaller group of furs. The sponsor suite was also host to Chef Takala, a very nice local zebra, who made fresh sushi for all the sponsors throughout the convention. With all these lovely perks, I highly recommend sponsor status or higher for anyone attending in the future. Saturday was a bit more eventful, starting with the always enjoyable fursuit parade. This was immediately followed by a presentation by CARE, a local nonprofit sanctuary, which houses a wide variety of animals from possums and foxes to bears, big cats, and monkeys. They brought along several animals from the sanctuary, including three monkeys, a trained cockatiel, a rainbow python, a possum, a baby alligator, and a blonde raccoon. After their presentation, they let attendees take pictures holding the animals for a small donation. Possums are surprisingly cuddly.
Hmm.
The con hosted a charity auction with all the proceeds going to care and raised over $4,000 in doing so, which led me to an interesting question that I will tack onto the end of the email, see part two. The rest of the day was made up of me watching fursuit charades and a performance of the really impressive furry musical, Julie Bunny Must Die. The night was capped off by a room party hosted by some friends. Let's just say, furries and alcohol are a dangerous combination. Sunday was another slow day, with the big events being watching fursuit games and the Fun Day Paw Pat live show. Many lulls were had at both. Closing ceremonies were held at 6, but the partying lasted through the rest of the night. All in all, it was one of the best con experiences I've had, and I highly recommend it to any furs in driving distance. Part 2. Now, on to my question. The convention raised over $4,000 in charity auction. Fursuits can cost several thousand dollars. Hotel rooms and convention admittance don't come cheap, and commissions are usually between 40 and 80. What the hell do furries do for a living?
We suck dick.
It's not a cheap fandom to be part of, especially considering many furs are also into usual nerd fare, sci-fi, gaming, anime. I get by all right, but when I see younger fur in a fursuit bot or body covered bandages and like, I just gotta wonder.
Badges,
not bandages.
I wonder if they got into some sort of horrific car accident.
I just gotta wonder. Well, that's all for me. I hope it wasn't too much of a jumbled mess to read. No, it's just me. Thank you guys and gals for all the laughs and advice you give each week, and hope you keep wanting to do it for years to come. Your local Fox fan from the land of the mouse, Alec the Kit. P.S. I also learned at the con why some fursuiters wear shorts for seemingly no reason over their fursuit. Let's just say I may need to be more careful about which suitors I ask to hug in the future.
Ooh, crusty. Yeah. Those are called the mer suits.
Or maybe, anyway.
There's a great t-shirt like that, if you've seen it. It's just a 2D black and white drawing of a zipper being pulled down, and the word says, "This is my mer suit."
So, where do people get the money?
Well,
some have decent jobs, some don't.
Some save money for the entire year to go to single con, and some of them get to a con by riding dicks.
Mm-hmm.
And some, go into the hole with for credit cards too.
Yeah, I know. When I was younger, I did a combination of saving up a bunch of paychecks to go to my first Anthrocon, or putting myself severely in debt because I was stupid, but still am when it comes to finances. Don't do that, kids. But, I didn't get to a con until a little bit later on, when I was, out of college and I had a full-time job. It wasn't a well-paying job, but it was a full-time job. And, I don't know how, some of the younger ones get to cons these days, because you see, 18, 19-year-olds that are...
Hey, they might work at McDonald's, too.
Yeah, it's possible.
Because I know that when I went to my first con, ACO4, 8 years ago, I was working at Toys R Us.
Mm-hmm.
And making shit per hour.
Yeah.
But I saved up.
And also consider that some people may not have a lot of expenses. I mean, if they're living at home, they don't have to worry about rent and utilities and shit like that. Maybe they're just paying for their car or their car insurance or something like that. Then any money they make, they can hoard, until that first big con, and then they go and they get a bunch of batches done and stuff like that. I mean, it's just one of those things that varies from individual to individual as to how they're able to do it. I mean, there's some advice I'd offer now about not going horrendously into debt, and, the couple of situations I've heard about where people have been like, oh, the boss wouldn't give me the time off to go to AC, so I'm just going to quit and get a new job when I get back.
Yeah, bad choice.
I literally heard people say that, and it's like, in nowadays economy, that shit is not going to fly,
man. Bad idea.
Yeah. That's always a bad idea to have that kind of cavalier attitude towards your job, but even yeah. more so now, it's pretty awful. But, yeah, that's our... But thank you for writing in with the...
Are you okay, Saverin?
Your con report highly abused Saverin.
Yes, yes, totally.
He's just thinking about, I don't know, fursuits, and he's like, they're bowling! It's so cute!
Toad.
Anywho.
So, yep, that's about it for that email.
Your turn.
Okay.
My turn! Snarf, snarf!
I thought we were going Wittershins.
We are. Just read. Now it's my turn.
No, Shiva just read. Now it's my turn.
Oh. Derp. Too bad!
Oh.
Go to jail.
Or okay. home. Or bed. Okay.
No, it's just I'm looking at my Tumblr and just... It's two characters 96-ing.
Okay.
They're like upside down and okay.
These two characters 96-ing because they totally like each other but have literally no idea what they're doing.
Desperately need advice. Pay attention, Saverin.
Paying attention.
No, you're not. You're saving shit on Tumblr. Eyes over here. Eyes over here. Look at my cock. You're a fox. That's what you do. Okay. Hey, Notcast. I want to start off by letting you know I'd like to stay anonymous in regards to this email. Sincerely yours, Foxy McSticky Paws. First time writer, long time listener, and I really would like your advice on my very sticky situation. Now that I'm done typing, sorry for the huge wall of text. Okay, he prefaced it with that as a warning. Okay, I'll start from the beginning.
This one's 4 pages long.
Shut up. Don't depress me before I even start. Roll back about 4 years to your stereotypical teenage wolf bawling because he didn't have a mate. That was me. I had a crush on a lion, and after being shot down, I lost hope in finding someone. Not long after, I met another canine online, and we began proofreading one another's short stories. We became good friends quick. After about a month or so, I told him how I was a little depressed about being shot down. He told me he felt pretty bad about it and confessed how much he liked me. To make it clear, because this will come into play later, he is bi and I am gay, and I am his first ever male partner. So we grew closer and closer and revealed that he was living with his girlfriend and was going to move out and leave her. I felt bad about this, especially since she was 16 and pregnant and had cerebral palsy and a club foot and a red beard.
Are you dead?
Red? Well, yeah. Then she didn't have a soul.
It's all okay.
Yeah,
bloody gingers. No, kidding. Okay. I feel bad about this, but I'm not into open relationships. Not long after, he was moved out and trying to find a new job while living with some relatives. After a few weeks of searching, he had no luck at all. He told me how much he hated living with his relatives and that he was going to move back in with his ex, but... Damn it. I've really got to start
boring
taking
email.
Some... No, it's not a boring email. It's just, I've really got to start doing some cocaine or something just to keep me going longer. Okay. But it wouldn't be a relationship. This really worried me and messed with my trust a bit, but I agreed and figured it'd be better for him than where he was. In the fall of that year, we decided to meet up for the first time. I forgot to mention, he lives in Europe. So for the first time, we had a week together with each other in Amsterdam. It went well after an awkward few hours, and we hit it off well. We decided that would be the trip that would really determine the direction of our relationship. Over the months, I suspected a lot about him living with his ex, and I felt horrible for thinking that way. It became really hard on me, and I let him know that. Not long after, he came clean about what I already knew. He had been sleeping with her the whole time. As you can imagine, I was really upset. He told me he wouldn't blame me if I left, and how he still had feelings for her and loved us both. I decided I loved him enough that I would stick with it, hoping he'd eventually get out of the situation and away from her. Roll forward a year, things are pretty much all right. We had many conversations about our situation, and I made it clear how I felt about the whole open thing on his side. He told me if he found out I'd ever... Motherfucker. He told me if he found out I'd ever cheated on him, he'd end it. I was a little offended, as I'm not the type to betray the trust of my partner, and as I stated before, not into the open thing, and I'm going to insert here, fucking hypocritical asshole. End my additions. A lot of our time is spent gaming online with one another in long talks. It's mostly a blur now, nothing too noteworthy happened other than him visiting me here in the U.S. for a month. Before this visit, he started to get a little hateful with my silly mistakes or small things like me not remembering exactly what we had talked about previously. I will admit I spent a lot of money on myself out of school refund when I should have been saving it to help with the trip, and I did end up earning enough to make up for that. His visit wasn't bad, but when he got back home, he started to complain about a lot of things he'd said nothing about while he was here. It really bothered me, and I felt helpless to do anything about it since it had already been done. But life goes on, and our relationship started to get a little rocky. We argued more, and I got some name-calling more and more frequently, and when I told him it really hurt, he replied with, "Well, you were being a insert insult." He didn't seem to care that he was hurting my feelings. We had a really rough patch, and I contemplated leaving him. I really hope that this email ends with leaving him. I told him my thoughts, and he seemed to get really upset, telling me how much he loved me, etc. He asked me if I still loved him still. Of course I did, but with the thoughts of leaving him, I told him that I didn't know and that I was having a hard time. I talked to a good friend of mine, and he made me feel a bit better. I didn't tell him the whole story, but I did tell him about the girlfriend situation, which had been playing on my mind this entire time. Things seemed to get better for a while, then we started fighting again. Time and time again, he'd bring up my carelessness with my money before his visit, and that I told him I didn't love him when he needed it. It really frustrated me, because he would bring these things up when they were completely unrelated to the argument at hand. It just felt like a guilt trip, really. Things continued to get better, then worse, up and down. Sometimes it was great, other times I felt depressed and didn't want to do anything at all. Roll forward another year and things seemed to be pretty okay. I paid for another plane ticket, and he came down to visit again. It was okay for half the month that things started to go downhill. I'm a very social person, and I like to get out and hang with friends. I brought him out to hang out with friends he had met previously. We ended up going to a coworker of mine's place to hang out. We chatted for a bit, and I tried to include him in the conversations, but he didn't seem interested. We ended up talking about Amsterdam, as my coworker had gone the previous year with a boyfriend after I told them a lot about it. From there, it went on to my 21st birthday, where I had blacked out, but had great friends around to take care of me and get me home safely. From there, it went to me talking about my first experience with K2, fuck that shit up the ass, and how horrible it was. That's a mountain for those at home.
Mm-hmm.
We got back to my place later that night, and he seemed really annoyed. I asked him what was up, and he began to go off on me about blacking out on my birthday. I didn't tell him about it because, honestly, it wasn't a big deal to me, since I had great people around to look after me. It was my big day, after all, and trying K2. I told him I was sorry, and I didn't mention it because it didn't seem like a big deal to me and wasn't something I was proud of. That night ended with us outside on the porch, me crying and him aggressively questioning me about this and how I could be so stupid. I'm skipping to the end.
Dump the motherfucker already.
Yeah.
Saved you. We appreciate lots of context. This is 4 pages, dude. 1 page. So you say to yourself in the tail end of this email that you feel trapped, you want to enjoy your life, you don't get a lot of free time with him, you don't want the same things in life, he wants to settle down into the thing, you want to explore the world. You want to go to cons, and he's a self-hating furry. Tell him to fuck off.
Yeah, I...
Go to OklaCon. Meet new people. Have fun. Tell people like him to have a stick up their ass to fuck off.
What else? I would tend to agree. I mean, I was losing patience with the boyfriend he's talking about in the first paragraph. And it's just because I was like, really? Really? Really?
Yeah, and like, he's in Europe, isn't he?
Yeah, he's in Amsterdam, but he's in Europe.
Let him be in Europe, and he can have his girlfriend, and he can fuck, and you can be over here in the U.S. and live your life.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen a single positive thing about this relationship.
I'm like, God, this goes on and on and on, and I'm just like, just dump the fucker. You yourself have said you know, it's, where is it? You know, I don't know if I like him anymore. It's really tiring me out and feel so conflicted.
There's really nothing to feel conflicted about. I think you just need somebody outside yourself to kind of tell you that.
At least from what he said, he hasn't said anything positive to sell it to him to us in this entire email.
Yeah, I mean, he's a transatlantic jerk. You don't need that. Yeah, you might like him for some reason, but he's, from our perspective, from my perspective, he's been an asshole.
Yeah, and then going off on you about shit that he wasn't even there for and didn't have any input in, and it's just like, it just came up in conversation, so he decides to berate you about it? What the fuck is up with that?
I can kind of see it. I mean, the whole blackout drunk is one of those things that really, it worries me. The writer says he's safe, but it's one of those twitch points of...
But even then...
Yeah.
So he's like 21 and he did something retarded at the time. I mean...
Congratulations, you're 21.
Yeah.
But just that this guy is just such a shit on so many levels, including that, and it's just...
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah, it sounds like he's using you as a fucking emotional outlet when his girlfriend gives him issues and shit like that. It's like, I think he's just using you at this point, dude. And a self-hating furry type, that's a huge fucking red flag to me. I hate fucking people like that.
So, yeah.
I'm sorry. You apparently made Saffron snap. I tend to agree with his bitey, yeah, Fennec advice.
Yeah. Now he.
So hopefully you take our advice to heart and dump the motherfucker and go to Oklacon and have fun, because fuck that noise.
Next email.
My turn.
No, it's not. No,
it's Saffron's turn. I was reading that one. We're going winter shins.
Yes. Howdy, not cast. I wanted to save this email for Wheel of Fetishes 4, but I'm starting to wonder if that topic is ever going to make a comeback. Hey, there's a topic.
Yeah, let's. I was going to suggest that.
What the heck? Let's talk about that now.
Wheel of Fetishes.
There, that can be 189. Ah. And he's going to listen to this and be like, damn it.
No, he was just warming it up.
Yeah, you revved up that fryer. Anyways, I consider myself asexual. I have no interest in any sexual activity, nor do I have any attraction to either gender or anything in between. However, I do fap. I have a fetish. Vor. Because of this, some of my friends have argued that I'm not really asexual. After all, to fap is to seek sexual gratification. But on the other hand, my fetish isn't really about people or creatures or anything physical. It's about the concept. Now, when you get down to it, the label is useless. I know what I am, and that's all that matters. However, I'm still curious about what you think. Do you think that despite my masturbation, my lack of physical attraction to anyone or anything makes me asexual? Does that make having a fetish automatically, or does having a fetish automatically disqualify me as an asexual, merely make me a confused or repressed hetero-homo-bisexual? Hetero/homo/bi. A hetero-homo-bisexual. So you're like,
see,
double
that
confused.
Should replace, what was the other one, polyphonic?
What are you talking? Pansexual?
Pansexual, yes. Instead of pansexual, I am hetero-homo-bisexual.
Yeah, I'm polyphonic sexual.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm 5.1 so sexual. Hot. No. All right. Thanks. Keep it the Great Hilarious Podcast, you guys. Your non-furry listener, disabled. P.S. Saffron is best pony, and Fluttershy has the sexiest voice.
Yay. Okay, so I have to comment that I'd always pronounced it asexual. So when Saffron's like, I'm asexual, I am asexual. Asexual what? I am asexual.
Asexual, asexual.
And it's funny because he uses the term like 4 times in this email. So I'm sitting there looking at it. I was like, he's going to say it again. He's going to say it. He said it again.
English is not my strong suit.
I thought you were going to say English is not your first language. I know you got scared white.
His first language is Texan. No.
My first language is Texan, I'll have you know. I'm going to have to turn on. I can't actually do that.
I've noticed, I've really amused by your fake Texas accent when you use it. But we're at craft shows, and you're just like, wow, ma'am! And I'm just like, oh my god, no. Just no.
That was once. Well, howdy, ma'am. How's it going? I really do appreciate you coming here. You know, I start talking real fast, and I'm like that one dude from King of the Hill.
I tell you what, man. That little old dangle internet, man. You just click. Naked ladies, it's real easy, man.
Boomhauer.
Yeah.
Anyway,
well.
So is he a sexual?
Is he a sexual? He is a sexual something. I don't think that. I think you, that you're physically asexual.
I'm sorry I have fucked up your ability
you
to say.
You have ruined me, sir.
Okay. Sexual what?
He is asexual in the context of real life.
So
he gets off on an idea, but it's not particular to what is getting eaten.
And it's not a person or gender bias, so I'd say...
Yeah, I was curious about that. What do you think of getting... Well, I guess if they're not... If, like, the thing they're thinking of being swallowed is not aroused in any way, you know, if it's not like a dude coming everywhere, then if you were thinking about a dude coming everywhere being eaten, then I'd say you're probably gay or bi. But
I,
you
know,
which is like a creature. I'm not sure.
I think
the thing is, it sounds like you're mostly asexual.
Asexual what?
But like it is kind of a neat. Most people, even if it's fairly low level, have a physical need to drain the balls every now and then. It's just one of those male things. You hold out too long, you know, you end up getting like wet dreams and draining the balls anyway.
Yeah.
You know, so it just sounds like you're, you know, that you're just like fulfilling the basic biological need to maintain good prostate health. But you're not fantasizing about, you know, fucking and sucking and licking and, you know, polishing that bead, you know, or a little man in a rowboat. Yeah.
I go scanning for the next email, trying to figure out what I'm going to read, and I come back and my attention, you guys are talking about, it's like, where did we get into this?
You know, just flicking the old bean, you know.
I come back, it's like, wait a minute, oral sex for girls? Where did we tangent onto this? But okay.
Well, I'm just saying, like, he could be straight, you know, he could just put his whole head in there.
Like a hat.
Drown.
Reverse four. Oh, no, that's unbirthing.
I'm going to wear you like a balaclava, then I'm going to rob a bank, and they'll never see my face. I'm going to breathe through your navel.
So, I think you, having a fetish...
I hope someone is fapping to that right now. Well, we've been able to identify his hat from security footage, but we have no idea the identity of the perpetrator, other than he may have an unusually small head.
So,
yeah.
I would say that as long as you're not attracted to anybody in the real world, you can still consider yourself asexual.
His neck does appear to be ribbed for her pleasure.
I'm going to read an email and stop fuzz.
Good idea.
Okay.
Open topic week number, I forgot. Let me just, that's the title of the email.
I know, I saw it earlier and I was just like, oh god, really? Have we been that bad on thinking of the topics lately? And it's just like, you're open topic, I don't know how often.
Open topic, whatever.
We have one for next week.
Episode pi.
3.14. Yeah. No, that's a couple hundred from now. Let me start off by saying I hope Shiva's surgery goes well. If she's in the studio, well, hi Shiva, _D. Next week. Please hope for next week.
Yes, sugary next week.
And since I'm sure that many people will be wondering the same thing, I hope you don't mind if I ask you this here, Fuzz. With season 7 of Doctor Who fast approaching, can we expect the return of Whofers? Also, what were your thoughts on the trailer? Does it look like it will be a great season of Doctor Who, or the greatest season? I'd also like to apologize for Shiva about last week's episode. I know there was a whole spider thing in the first half of the episode, and then it occurred to me, oh shit, are they going to read my email? Man, what a creepy coincidence. Actually, that gives me a topic suggestion. I know you guys did the whole nope topic a few weeks ago, and I can't remember if you covered it in the past, but what about nope moments in bed? Like moments that completely ruin the mood. Not a topic that incites drama fuel, but just moments that you smile and laugh about when you reflect on it. Mm-hmm. Or just weird and creepy moments. Just throwing that out there. Forever the awkward spider, Isaiah.
I'm just thinking, I know it's off topic for this week, but I had kind of a nope moment when
save it if we use the topic.
No, this is funny, and I'll forget about it by next week, because I was fooling around with a couple other guys. It was like one guy was going down on me, one guy was going down on somebody else, and they had like a 300 CD chain shirt that was on random, and then ICP's I Stab People came on.
Oh.
And it was just, everyone just sort of stopped and was just, then just died laughing. But anyway. Yeah. Who first? Yeah, that's entirely up to me. My mate's pushing me to do it.
We'll push you to do it.
Oh, great.
Roll you down the hill.
More pushing. Yeah, we'll probably get that going here soon, because I'm getting caught up with some of the stuff that with Fur Planet that I had wanted to do in previous months, and we've got a busy few months ahead of us with all the cons plus hopefully moving and everything. But yeah, hopefully I will get back to do it. It should be airing some of the blogs I've been looking at are saying August 25th is when it's supposed to come back, because apparently that is a bank holiday, that's a Saturday, and that's kind of when they've tended to roll them out.
They haven't in the past. Announced the official dates yet?
They have not announced it. They just keep saying fall.
Oh.
And, you know, but a couple of the blogs have kind of sussed out the potential dates that it could be. So right now that's the going theory, is this month, late this month. Which is fine. Trailer, God,
Angels? It had angels?
There's angels. There's an Old West episode with a cyborg, which looks really cool. Because I realized, like, searching for it on YouTube, this is the second trailer for this season. There was a trailer earlier in the spring as well, which is pretty cool. And it showed a lot of footage of, like, the Old West and being shot at and everything. And I just, you know, spoilers for anyone listening to this that hasn't seen the trailer for Doctor Who Series 7 yet, but just, one of the things I love about the 11th Doctor is how just giddy and gleeful and enthusiastic and excited he is when he's like, yeah, dinosaurs on a spaceship, and he's just so happy, like, nearly being killed while, you know, one of his companions is trying to drag him away because he's like, this is just so cool, you know? Mm-hmm. And it reminded me of last season when he was picking up the 60s NASA astronaut stuff, or 70s rather, and he goes, look how cool this stuff is! And he's putting the big helmet on and everything. Just Matt Smith, he's so adorable. You know, I really love him in this role. It's just, he makes a great doctor, and I'm really looking forward to seeing him on screen again. Little worried about where this season's going. We know that Amy and Rory are leaving, and then the new companion is introduced in the Christmas special. But what we don't know is if somebody's going to die or not.
Again.
Like, permanently. the teaser image that they released lately is, you know, the doctor holding what appears to be an either unconscious or dead Amy Pond and surrounded by Daleks, and that also works its way into the trailer. So it's like, oh my God, does Amy sacrifice herself to destroy the Daleks? You know, does something happen? You know, we don't know. So we'll see.
I'm going to guess that they're not going to give away the fact, give away the idea, lol, Amy's dead.
Yeah. Image. I'm guessing that it makes a good image for people to go, oh, holy shit, you know? Yeah. But I don't think that that'll actually happen.
And they're also, River Song was in the trailer.
Mm-hmm. River Song was briefly in the trailer. Like, Shiva said angels, which I thought the one scene was very creepy with, like, the baby angel.
Yeah, the little cherub.
Glowing. Yeah. And there's some neat images of, look like they're in some snowy Arctic kind of wasteland sort of scene too, which I'm curious about, but just, yeah. I don't know. We will see how it turns out. I'm always excited for a new series of Doctor Who, and you know, this, he's got to be one of my favorite doctors. I think I said that about the last three or four.
Yeah. So. It seems like, whatever doctor is current, it's either your favorite or close to your favorite. I mean,
yeah, know. I don't mean to seem, in a way, I'm glad about that though, because it means that I'm always enjoying the show.
Yeah,
you know, whoever it is that's in the role is like the best possible thing I could see.
I know people write off Eccleston, but I really liked him as the doctor. Yeah, as the reboot and the revamp of, well, not reboot, but like a revamp of Doctor Who. I really like Eccleston.
Mm-hmm. So. You know, I realized that later, like in the middle of Tenet, and I, you know, and at some point I went back and I was like, I could just rewatch this series again, because it had been like 3 years since I'd seen the episodes, and I was just like struck by, you know, they hold up really well. And it's like, man, he was a really good doctor, you know.
I've always been disappointed we only got one season of him. I would have liked a couple more.
Mm-hmm.
So it just seemed like they blew through that regeneration too fast.
Yeah, and that happens sometimes. I mean, yeah. I wanted more eight on screen, but at least I got years of him on audio.
Yeah.
I really hope that the BBC change. See, right now, Big Finish, the company that does the audio adventures, their license just got extended another 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
So they're licensed to do Doctor Who until the end of 2015 now. But their license only covers the classic series up to the TV movie. It doesn't cover any characters or concepts or anything introduced from 2005 on. And that's saying you could even get Eccleston back to do one, because he's been very, no, I don't ever want to have anything to do with it. But then again, Tom Baker said the same thing, and they eventually got him back.
Yeah.
But, so you never know. But it would be cool, because I know, because they've had David Tennant working with them before he was the Doctor. If they can open up that license to do, you know, 9 and 10, and obviously not 11, because you don't want to fuck with the continuity of what they're airing now. But I'd really like to see that happen at some point. Have more adventures from those two doctors.
Yeah.
But anyway.
So, yeah.
Sorry, that ended up, I ended up just rambling there a little bit longer.
Well, somebody said a nice open-ended Doctor Who question. We knew that this was going to get you talking.
Yeah, I guess.
I saw the trailer and was like, oh, hell yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Hell yeah, bitches.
All right, so that takes us down to finally
last email. Oh my god, is that me?
I don't know. Somebody pick one.
Okay, all right. Confidence, ho! Dear Notcasters, just a short email this week. Thank fuck, but one with a rather searching question that I hope will inspire some discussion. Hopefully, not too much. When people ask me what I look for in a potential partner, I always say the same thing. Confidence. Sadly, this is something that many furries seem to lack, and it's for that reason I have become somewhat wary of dating within the fandom. I feel that being confident and sure of yourself, though not arrogant by any means, is a vital quality in any lasting relationship, because if either party is constantly questioning themselves or their worth, it can lead to a very one-sided, unstable dynamic in which jealousy and all manner of other nasty habits can spring forth. And jealousy will drive you mad! Sorry, a little Moulin Rouge moment there. I don't mean that there shouldn't be room for emotional openness and caring, of course, just that it should be equal without being destructively dependent or codependent. Your thoughts on this matter would be greatly appreciated. Ever enthusiastic, Jeeves. P.S. Applejack is best pony. P.S.S. Whoa, that wasn't a short question at all.
So what do you look for in a mate? So
confidence, intelligence, stability, not a crazy party animal? Similar interests?
You know, I think confidence is important.
It's not paired with arrogance.
Yeah,
that's one of those things that a lot of people that don't have confidence view confidence as arrogance.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what I was going to say is that sometimes one gains confidence through having a positive relationship.
And having a partner that's
that supports them. And it has to be a duality, you know, an equally supporting relationship. But, like, there's a lot of aspects of myself. Like, I was a sort of confident person in some areas of my life before I met Tyrion. But there was a lot that I wasn't confident on. And his support over the years and just talking through some of my insecurities and everything like that has helped me become a lot more confident. And I'm a much more confident person now than I was years ago. So if he'd taken that tack of, you're not confident, you're weak and insecure, you know, I want to find someone that already kind of knows who they are and what they want out of life and everything, then we wouldn't have been together all this time, you know? And also, lack of confidence is not just in furry. It may be prevalent in the geek subculture.
I was gonna say that, yeah.
But just in society in general. You know, Tyrion and I were talking about this one night that, like, he knows a couple of his non-furry friends that are, like, they end up marrying the first woman that wasn't a total bitch to them, mm-hmm. you know, or showed them the remotest amount of attention, you know, and they didn't have a lot of confidence, you know, so the first person that didn't treat them like shit, that's who they ended up with, and now they're miserable. You know, so it goes way beyond just furries.
Let's see, what do I look for? Confidence, at least, is being having a couple of things that they know that they want to do, and similar goals to me, and they're actually willing to go out and do it. A little bit of drive, I guess you'd say. Not so much that they run over their partner, but they definitely have the backbone to see through projects. You know, I'm going to pay off debt. Okay. And then they do it. Not just, we'll pay off, and meanwhile they pay off their card a little, and then they run it up and pay it off. You know, that whole wishy-washy. You set a goal, you follow through with it.
Mm-hmm.
A sense of humor. You gotta be able to make me laugh. I am actually a fairly goofy person. I am a silly son of a bitch. And they have to be able to make me laugh and let me be silly and make them laugh. They have to have a certain degree of sweetness and caring. I'd almost call it not quite tender, but I appreciate small gestures. You know, you go out and buy me lunch, that means the world to me. You know, just silly little, I like small tokens. If you do small little things for me because I know that you just want to make me smile, it means a lot to me. What else? It's just honest, open, and pretty forthright. But honestly, the whole goofy, silly humor is a huge part of my personality. I laugh a lot, and I find life to be pretty humorous overall, and they have to be able to put up with the humor I see in the world, because it's sometimes you have to laugh at situations or you're going to cry. You see the humor or it beats you down. So, you know, they got to be able to deal with that. Just being responsible.
And we already know Saverin looks for a huge dick.
And
damn right.
And doorknob games.
And the ability to use it. That's Saverin's contribution to this episode.
Yes. I'm helping.
And what?
I'm helping.
Well, see, his mate might actually listen to this.
I said exactly what I was going to say. I mean,
garble.
No, right at the end of the email.
Oh, okay, yeah. I'm sorry, Saverin, you're a fox. All I heard was,
yap,
magical Fennecland.
Bite.
Scorpions for everyone.
And that was still the best thing at OpenBookCon last year. The welcome scorpion just for you.
Yeah. I'm hoping for less of that in the lodge.
Yeah, we're staying at the lodge this year. There'd best not be any scorpions.
By the way, do you guys have your own room, or we
no,
share?
No, we've got our own room.
Okay.
As far as I know, I've got the cabin again. Webster.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Because you got your own cabin.
I guess I got my own cabin, though.
No, you got your own lodge room.
Lodge room. Yeah, I got my own lodge room. So, like, one bed for me and one for my dick. I'll have to hang over onto the floor.
Yeah. Our room's kind of full.
So. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they're weird. They're like, it's like a double bed, and then there's like a little single bed.
I swear, when you go to hotels and they say, you get two queens, and you go in, and those are not queen size beds. I know a queen size bed. I've owned them, and they're closer to like a smaller size, somewhere between full and queen. It's kind of some bullshit size. So yeah.
Well, in this case, because of the shape of the room, it actually is like a twin and a queen or something like that.
Too fucking small.
So you can fit three people to a room, basically. One person on one bed and two on the other.
Oh, okay. I haven't been to any lodge rooms. I've only been to...
Well, I called, or somebody called and asked them, because it wasn't real clear on the website what it was. And I asked someone at OkuCon what the rooms were like, how many cadets, what the beds were in there, because it didn't say. And that's the situation. But
So... Next con for me is trying for MSN, if not OklaCon, because I am super sponsored for OklaCon.
Yep, me too. So I hope I'm able to be there longer, because, you know, I don't really have any time off at this point that's not already spoken for by other cons. So right now it's like I drive up Friday after work, I drive home Sunday, which kind of sucks. I'd like to take a couple of extra days off if things change by then, and maybe go up there Wednesday or Thursday and enjoy myself, be there for the super sponsor deal and all that.
I think I was going to take a half day on Thursday,
drive up
try to get to the super sponsor soiree,
yeah,
and then be there for a con.
Yeah. Okay.
So yeah.
Cool. So go to OkuCon. Woo!
Yay!
So, let's wrap it up for tonight, then. And yes. Next week, we'll be doing Wheel of Fetishes 4, I guess.
Yep.
For episode 189. So, how do we want to handle that again? Is just write
it. Just write about your kinks. Talk about kinks.
Wheel of Fetishes. Turn. Show us the strangeness. We will learn.
That works for me.
You can always contact us at notcast@foxstuffers.com. You can find us on FA at Notcast. Find us on LJ at Notcast. Find us on Twitter at Notcast. You can follow me personally on Twitter at Saverin Drake.
And I am Fuzzwolf2000 on Twitter.
And I'm Chimera, Khymaera. And I spell that because it doesn't sound exactly like it's spelled. Whatever.
That's okay. I'm used to it now. You repeating the spelling means that I don't have to, like, hunt for your name in my mentions list and just...
Well, you just look for the Shiva head.
Well, I mean, to look for the spelling of it. Like, yeah. And then, like, and retweet a reply to figure out.
Use our coupon code notatomeve.com. The money helps us get to cons, as it is definitely helping Shiva this time around.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about it. We appreciate iTunes reviews.
And purchase of dongs.
And purchase of dongs. So, on that note, good night.
And big balls.
Oh. It's almost midnight.
Yeah, we got